This is Smart Call with Simon Sharwood on itradio.com.au and callcentres.net.
Hi, and welcome to Smart Call, your regular podcast for the customer service and call centre industries. Well, 2009 is drawing to a close, and what better way to look back on the year and to think a little bit about 2010 than by getting our regular friend, Dr. Katrina Wallace from callcentres.net on the line to look forwards and backwards. Katrina, how's the year been for you?
Simon, the year has been astounding for me and us here at callcentres.net. We've had a fabulous year despite the nasty economic times, but that's all supportive of this very important industry we work in, which is the call centre industry, which really finally, although did it pretty tough during the year, has come of age in the sense that there's a lot of CEO, board and ministerial attention being placed on this industry right now.
Okay, well, let's start at the back end. Ministerial. I'm thinking Stephen Conroy being silly about the Do Not Call register.
Yes, I'm groaning. I'm groaning on the inside and on the outside on that one, Si. We're not well, we do know why that's been put forward. There's apparently many complaints from very small businesses around the number of proactive outbound sales calls that were received, and so Senator Conroy decided he would extend the Do Not Call register to business-to-business and fax numbers. So we, as analysts and commentators in the industry, think it is a disastrous proposal, and we have joined ADMA, the Australian Direct Marketing Association,
yep,
in lobbying against this bill, which is fairly much in front of Parliament currently.
Do you reckon it's going to get up? Is it going to go through on the numbers?
Look, the ADMA have done an outstanding job in the committee. They commissioned Access Economics to do a series of reports and studies on the impact. So I think there's fairly substantial evidence now to say that the impact on business would be more detrimental than any benefit gained. But you just don't know in this political sphere, because it is probably a vote winner, this type of legislation, Simon, as was the Do Not Call register for consumers. So it's going to be a tricky one. I'd say I'm hedging 50-50 it goes ahead or not.
Okay. Now, I mean, the other action in Canberra this year was, of course, Stephen Fielding with his Offshoring's a Bad Idea bill.
Yeah.
I mean, because Fielding's a bit of a lone, it's tempting to say a lone nut job, a lone voice, this one never really had a chance of getting up, but there was still some heat and light around it, wasn't there?
Well, and again, it's in front of the Senate at the moment. So this is, so Senator Fielding is an independent senator from the Family First Party. So, of course, his mandate is around Australians and protecting jobs for Australians. It's just that this bill, which is trying to enact privacy laws to stop,
yep,
work moving not over offshore to any country, Simon, only really to Asian or developing countries. So he's perfectly fine with work, Australian jobs moving offshore to countries like the US or the UK. So in my opinion, there were some fairly strong racial undertones in the bill. But essentially, it is focused only on contact centre work or call centre work, not on back office processing. And we did bring to the Senator and his advisers attention that, in fact, much, much work is already offshored. Much, much private data is already offshored in back,
yeah,
office processes. So there's some major flaws in the bill. It is unlikely that this will get up, although it's just, you know, painful that this topic has been in front of the Senate and in front of the media, in front of the public.
Yeah, kind of continued perception that offshoring is bad. But, I mean, of course, we know the industry has kind of figured out that, you know, it doesn't necessarily save you money and it doesn't necessarily improve your service. I think that kind of, you know, maturing of attitudes towards offshoring has been quite marked this year.
Well, the global financial crisis has increased threefold the number of Australian executives who have outsourcing and potentially offshoring on their top 10 priority list. So we will expect there to be more outsourcing and more offshoring as time goes on, and probably less emotion and controversy around it. As I've said and was well published in New Zealand recently, I think everyone's just got to get over it. It's happening. It's called the services shift, and the work will move,
yep,
to where it's most effectively delivered.
And, you know, sometimes that can be Australia. I remember earlier this year talking to Denise Pitt, now of Aegis, since they were acquired, since UCMS was acquired, they feel they've now got the capability to bring on, I think she was saying, 1,000 or 1,500 100 jobs in BPO and collections in Australia.
Yeah, exactly right. And so there will be many advantages, Simon. And in fact, talking of advantages around outsourcing and offshoring, we held a fabulous event last week in Melbourne where we looked at the social impacts of offshoring, had some fabulous women from India and Philippines join us and talk to an audience of Australian executives about the great and positive impact that the Australian outsourcers are having in local communities and empowerment of women in developing countries. So there's a lot. There's still a lot to be said about this topic, Simon. We should expect more to be said about the role of offshoring for Australian businesses as we go forward.
Okay, cool. Now, what else do you reckon was big this year? When I kind of look at vendor land, there were no outstanding mergers or acquisitions, but Nortel is fading away.
Yeah, so the Nortel, we understand that the Avaya purchase of Nortel and the merge of that business will happen over the next, will actually happen imminently, so over the next couple of weeks. Really then Avaya, I think, will be out communicating through January to clients, potential clients, and the general industry about what is the roadmap, what's the Avaya Nortel look and feel going to be going forward. So I think it's very exciting and, of course, makes this particular vendor in a very powerful position.
Yes. I mean, I kind of wonder, we're devolving to a smallish pool of large-scale telephony equipment providers. Narrowed choices tend to lead to higher prices.
Well, indeed, that can happen. But then, there is still a lot of, and particularly now coming out of Australia and probably also China, some very smart, perhaps more agile, more cost-effective, hosted solutions in the contact centre space. So perhaps it will polarise the industry. So you can either go to the big end of town, which is really big now, or look at some more dynamic, smaller software enterprises who have very good technology. And there's a number of those, Si, that we can talk about.
Yeah, and well, I mean, as soon as you mentioned China, I kind of, slapped myself in the head and thought to myself, well, yeah, of course, I mean, Huawei is making enormous strides out of China, so you certainly won't lack for a good big telephony switch.
Absolutely.
Now, how do you think things have gone on the more human side this year? At the start of the year, we felt that employers would find that attrition was perhaps a little kinder and gentler to them this year, but we also worried that perhaps they could end up warehousing malcontents.
And indeed, I think that's what happened. So we've seen the attrition rates, so raw numbers, and again, just to remind the listeners, we have around 260,000 workers in the call centre industry, around 212,000 of them on the front line. Middle of 2008, that was 49% attrition at the raw level, so literally half of that 212,000 would leave. Middle of 2009, that's dropped down to around 28%, so a significant drop.
Whoa.
Which, we did say was fabulous news at $20,000 to replace an agent, including recruitment, lost productivity, training costs. That's a great saving to organisations. And we also know that call centres and organisations in general are not spending as much on trying to be an preferred employer or on some of their HR programs. But what we have been left with, Si, is what we've termed the trapped and disengaged. So there's certainly, we know that currently around 35 to 40% of call centre industry workers in Australia regard themselves as engaged. They're motivated, they're committed to their job, they're energised by their job, and the rest, so 60%, 6 in 10 are not. So what we're seeing is previously that 6 in 10 churned fairly often, and now we're seeing less churn and organisations having these people who are disengaged trapped in the organisation. So there's a whole bunch of other human resource related problems. But perhaps still not as severe as that massive turnover and the loss of knowledge and the cost that we saw before.
I'm thinking I need to put trapped and disengaged on my CV. That's going to look pretty good.
Trapped and disengaged, yes. TAD. The TAD phenomenon sign.
Generation TAD.
That's it.
Okay. Now, look, something else I wanted to discuss was what was the regions. It's kind of been a yo-yo year for the regions, I reckon. I mean, from time to time we see someone saying, look, we love this town because we're going to lower attrition. It's good. We've got Centrelink going into Batemans Bay and Coffs Harbour and being welcomed with open arms. And then we see other regional call centres close in, Tasmania and Queensland.
Yeah.
I don't know. What's going on with that?
Well, we've done an enormous amount of study across regional call centres, particularly in Victoria and or regional areas that have call centres, Victoria and Queensland, over the last 12 months. And really we do, if we to summarise it, Si, you're really looking at probably a good 10% saving in going to the region. And that's okay. So there is really particular, around the HR factor, you will get savings going to the region. So that is a very sensible thing. We're also seeing governments and local, state governments and local governments, very, very proactive in supporting organisations that want to move to the regions. So I would not be surprised with this, again, probably on the back of the GFC and still coming out of it, where cost is such an important aspect, that there is more movement to the regions, and that is really driven by the more stable human resource equation that's in the region, and the very great local government and state government support. So it's still a terribly sensible thing, and we're seeing more of the movement of the region, or closing centres in the region, tend to be more organisational strategic issues or changes in the way they were doing business rather than it failed in the region. So we're not seeing a huge amount of failure in region at all. That's not the reason they're moving. And we're seeing movement out to the region really because it's partly government wanting to put jobs in the region, partly cost saving. So it's a sensible strategy to consider.
Okay. Now, technology. Earlier in the year, we had National Australia Bank famously turn on voice biometrics. Mm. Aside from that, it's kind of hard to think of a big technical jump this year. Any technology really jumped out and caught your eye?
Oh, no, it's been a little bit tough for the technology sector this year. So there was a 17% reduction in budget spend
yep.
in technology. So the type of topics that the technology vendors have been talking about is still hosted is a interesting subject.
One.
You've seen companies like Salesforce.com move strongly into providing hosted contact center solutions now. So there's a couple of other players that are traditionally not in this space who've come in again with their SaaS models or hosted models. We have seen renewed interest in speech. So again, a little bit of buzz around the industry around some speech implementations, including the biometrics. But largely, there's not a lot else. Business continuity has been a big subject that organisations are talking about, how your technology gear up around that. So on the back of Victorian bushfires, the threat of the dreaded swine flu, the burning down of some call centres, size. So business continuity is on the list. And the virtual contact centre is also one of the topics. So nothing radically new, but just moving along some more of those, particularly, you know, IP-based contact centre configurations.
Yep. Any move on multi-channel? Because, I mean, every year I think we kind of say, look, you know, people are finally going to get their multi-channel stuff together. You know, the emails will be answered, the live chats will start.
Yeah, look, there's a lot of talk around the multi-channel at the moment, and we're certainly working with a number of organisations at executive level to get them to think about what's beyond contact centre, and what's beyond contact centre is the integration of multi-channel. So there's a number of organisations, particularly banking and telco, who are saying we have call centre, we have face-to-face, we have online, and we now are starting to play in social media, but we need those channels now integrated at a strategic level. So what perhaps, Si, even though you and I have said, you know, the multi-channel agent is a myth and there's very few companies that have done it well and emails
it's,
are
it's done. On the agenda.
It's on the agenda, but now rather than it being driven by the technology vendors at an operational level, it's now at the strategic level where organisations are going, okay, we need to provide a better customer experience through an integrated channel approach, and it must be driven from the customer experience, from strategy, then down into call centre operations, not the other way up, which is what was done traditionally. So I'm really hoping over the next 12 months we see some good examples of some really true integration of channels.
So it's almost as if the kind of social media dog has wagged the customer service tail on this one.
Yeah, perhaps, or maybe just sort of coincidental timing. There's a number of organisations that go, we do good call centre, we do good branch, we do good web, we start to play in call centre, but we need to do them all better and all together.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's interesting because just in the last week or so, I mean, we've had one of our large banks kind of put a massive emphasis on the branch experience, especially the bank manager experience. And just a couple of days ago, we had Telstra put up its hand and say, we want to recruit a customer panel so we can figure out where we're failing.
Yeah, that was fascinating. Telstra's, I think, 18,000 customers on a panel so they can give feedback. I mean, it's a very, very big focus. So we're seeing, well, obviously the telcos are under significant government and public pressure to change what they do, and Telstra's certainly responding to that. Hopefully they're responding in the right way. I think, and you know, banks such as you mentioned, saying like we're back in community now, we want to be part, we want to be local, we want you to see us and feel us.
Yeah, we've so got $100 to spend at the school fete.
Yeah, exactly. We're sponsoring the local netball team. you know, that's all. It's all good, and as these telecommunications companies and banks in terribly competitive environments try to differentiate themselves, what is quite nice is instead of seeing just a homogenous banking sector doing all things in the same way, or the telcos all things in the same way, we should start now over the next 12 months or 2 years see some significant differentiation done on how they service, and that would be nice.
Yeah, gee, you know, there you go. They've gotten customer service 101.
Yeah, I know. You know, why this isn't happening 20 years ago beats me, but anyway, at least it's that starting sign.
Okay, so let's think about 2010.
Yeah.
And, you know, ignoring the fact that we're ticking over into another decade.
Yeah.
And therefore, you know, can remember the last decade and indeed, therefore aren't very young anymore. What do you reckon is going to happen next year?
Well, so this year was slow in growth. So we saw only 1% growth in the whole industry. In seat size, so that was now around 193,000 seats in Australia. The industry had predicted growth from 7%, or middle of last year, 7% growth. It wasn't achieved. It was only 1%. And the government sector, which is around 34,000 seats, did grow around 6%. So it actually put the private sector into negative growth.
But we are seeing the government kind of getting teleservices as faster and easier.
Yes, we certainly are, and that's fantastic news all around the country at different government levels, local, state, federal government are doing some good work. However, what we see is almost the reverse in 2010, strong confidence from the private sector, so predicting a 7% growth in seat size, but a much more conservative estimate around 2 to 3% from government. And the greatest challenge over the next 12 months, like consistently across government and private sector, is budgetary constraints. So it's the first year that we haven't seen human resource attrition and turnover as the number one challenge. It really now is very much around budgetary constraints, doing more with less, inadequate headcount and change management.
Scary.
Yeah, so it will be organisations, the CEOs and the executive going, right, we get this call centre thing now, we want you to do more, we want you to service more, we want you to sell more, but because we're still on the back of the GFC, we're not actually going to give you any more money to do that, but we'd really love you to really extend those targets and perform.
Here's a couple of rubber bands and an old packing crate.
Pretty much.
Fabulous. Well, you know, that's pretty much what I'm using to assemble my Christmas presents this year. So I think on that note, we should say very Merry Christmas to you, Katrina, and everybody at callcenters.net, and many thanks for participating in Smart Call this year.
Indeed, and Simon, a very happy Christmas to you and your family, and to all the listeners, a wonderful Christmas and New Year, and we'll see you bright and strong probably late January, Cy, for talking about the year ahead.
Works for me.
Darling. Thanks, bye.
Thanks, Katrina. Bye.
Bye. Drunk,